Growing Up, our brand new resource for churches and parents, is out now! Woohoo! With Sunday school sessions, training videos, podcast episodes for parents, and one for the whole family. All there to help our children navigate the confusion, filter the messages they're surrounded by, and hear God's good story. All our Growing Up resources point to the Heavenly Father who loves our children even more than we do and has the answer to their biggest questions about who they are and how to live. Together, as families and churches, we can support each other to start good conversations about bodies, gender, and marriage, so our children can grow up hearing God's good story. Head over to the website faithinkids.org and find out all the details about Growing Up.
Hello, Faith in Kids World! Jam and I love joining you. We're getting along with the whole family, your family, wiggling and squeezing into the gaps.
And what better way to burst into your family than with a lovely piece of John's Gospel? We've got enough to share. Get comfy. We'll pass it all around. There's enough for everyone.
Do you feel ready for the next marvellous morsel of John's story of the first Easter? It's a thriller. This is episode 3 of Easter Explained.
Today's episode is the best news ever told. Better than the first human landing on the moon.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Not only better than sliced bread, better than bread.
Jam! Better than let's go to the ice cream van and choose anything you like.
Even better.
Better than pack your swimmers, we're off to the beach and the sun is shining.
And there's a test match to listen to on the radio. Yes.
Jam, this is such good news. We're here for it because it has been a hard story so far. Easter is a lot of hard story. Episode 1 was Jesus saying, "I am he," to the soldiers, and they arrested him right there in the garden. Episode 2 was Jesus saying, "It is finished," before he bowed his head and died.
Ed, stick with us. I promise there is good news coming.
Okay, let's whip around. Here's a question for your family. Everyone gives an answer. What was the last problem that you couldn't fix? Jam, have you got one?
I can't think of one personally, but I did walk past a tree last year, a gigantic tree that had just fallen over. It had smashed through a lovely dry stone wall, and the people who were there, they just left it there, and they put up a plaque to say this tree fell over in 2022 or 2023, and we're going to leave it here because there's nothing we can do about it. We're just going to let nature deal with it. That fallen tree was a problem that no one could fix, and it's still there.
Okay, whip around your family. What was the last problem you just couldn't fix? In today's story, Mary Magdalene is off to see where they buried Jesus. And honestly, no one was going to help her. We'll hear in the story how she went around, she asked for help, she even ran around, and no one was going to help her. Did you hear that? That can only mean one thing, Jam. It's the fun fair for fun, fabulous five facts.
Wow, not even close. The fanfare for five fabulous fun facts. And today we're looking at tombs, running races, linen, tears, and gardeners. In fact, let's start with gardeners. The most famous British gardener is Lancelot Brown. You might know him as...
Capability Brown.
Capability Brown, who designed massive gardens for posh people in the 1700s. Places like Hampton Court or Blenheim Palace, places where you've got to pay 20 quid to get in. His nickname came not because he was capable, but he described the landscape as having great capabilities for improvement. So that's why he was called Capability Brown. And then he would just dig these huge lakes or build these huge hills to make it all look like it had been there for centuries.
Jam, I love the idea that I could listen really carefully to you and you could go to me like one day, goodness, Ed, that mountain is massively huge. And I could call you, right, from now on, you should be called Huge Carey after what you once said.
Massively huge, Carey. Running races in Berlin, Germany, 2009. Jamaican Usain Bolt ran 100 metres in 9.58 seconds. But what you really want to know is who holds the record for the fastest marathon dressed as a lobster?
Oh, that is why people come to the Faith in Kids podcast, Jam.
And I can tell you, Simon Couchman in 2017 ran the London Marathon in 3 hours, 13 minutes, 18 seconds, dressed as a lobster. He was 2 minutes slower than Paul Richards, who ran the same marathon dressed as a Viking, beating the previous fastest Viking marathon record by 9 minutes.
Oh, Jam. Okay, Jam, let's imagine you're going to run a marathon. Tell me the costume.
Chicken. You've got to run dressed as a chicken, haven't you?
I think a clown. I've found good things happen when you dress up as a clown.
Anyway, here's a fact about linen and tombs. It's two in one. Linen is a fabric made from a plant called flax. And it's probably the oldest fabric because, Ed, what is the oldest piece of clothing that you have?
I think I've definitely got some from when I was like five, definitely. So that's 40 years old or so.
Wow. Okay. I've got some t-shirts from my teens that I just can't bring myself to throw out and they're absolutely threadbare. One for a football team called the Houston Oilers, who don't even exist anymore. They moved to Tennessee and became the Titans. Anyway, in 1913, in a tomb in Egypt, they found a linen shirt that was over 5,000 years old.
And did they get a label on it or a certain fashion?
Do not machine wash. That's why it lasted so long.
I have a pair of my granddad's shorts, but is that they're not 5,000 years old.
Finally, tears. Most newborn babies can spend more than 2 hours crying every day. Oh. But some Canadian babies, according to research, cry for more than 3 hours a day. Canadian babies cry about the same amount as British babies and Italian babies, but babies born in Denmark, Germany and Japan cry the least. Now, we have listeners all over the world. Send us an email to say, what is your experience of crying babies? And does it change when you take them to a different country? If your baby is crying and crying and crying, you go, right, that's it, we're moving to Japan.
Okay, so that's the challenge. We need a Canadian family and a Japanese family to compare notes on how long your baby cries for. Jam, those were actually fabulous fun facts. I couldn't be more grateful. All of those are in today's story. So if you can spot tombs, running races, linen, tears and gardeners, you'll win some kind of prize. Jesus died on a Friday. This reading starts just as the sun is coming up on Sunday. Here's one of Jesus' closest friends, Mary Magdalene, coming to the place where Jesus was buried.
Our reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, starting at verse 1.
Early on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. It was still dark. Mary saw that the large stone had been moved away from the tomb. So Mary ran to Simon Peter and the other follower, the one Jesus loved. Mary said,
"They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put him."
So Peter and the other follower started for the tomb. They were both running, but the other follower ran faster than Peter. So the other follower reached the tomb first. He bent down and looked in. He saw the strips of linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in.
Then following him came Simon Peter. He went into the tomb and saw the strips of linen lying there. He also saw the cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up and laid in a different place from the strips of linen.
Then the other follower, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed.
These followers did not yet understand from the scriptures that Jesus must rise from death. Then the followers went back home. But Mary stood outside the tomb.
While she was still crying, she bent down and looked inside the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white. They were sitting where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the feet. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?"
"They have taken away my Lord. I don't know where they have put him."
When Mary said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there.
But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus asked her,
"Woman, why are you crying? Whom are you looking for?" Mary thought he was the gardener, so she said to him,
"Did you take him away, sir? Tell me where you put him and I will get him."
Jesus said to her, "Mary." Mary turned toward Jesus and said,
"Teacher,
don't hold me. I have not yet gone up to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them this. I am going back to my Father and your Father. I'm going back to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and said to the followers,
"I saw the Lord."
And she told them what Jesus had said to her.
Mary was back at the tomb. She had no idea what was going on. The tomb was open. Jesus' body was missing. She ran to tell the disciples, "They'll fix it. The body's gone." So John and Peter had their race. They arrived at the tomb, went in, and they agreed it was definitely empty. "Thanks, lads. Glad you came." Mary is left behind, crying her eyes out and talking to the angels, who asked her why she was crying. "Oh, come on, team. Someone help out Mary." Finally, the gardener arrived. He'll know some stuff. At least Mary thought he was the gardener. The gardener said her name.
Mary.
Mary knew it was Jesus. I love that. It was him saying her name that did it. Jesus knows your name. Mary was pleased to see Jesus, so pleased she gave him a great big hug. She must have wanted to never let go. But Jesus had something so great to say to Mary. I love this. Listen really carefully. Jesus said,
"Don't hold me. I have not yet gone up to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them this. I am going back to my Father and your Father. I'm going back to my God and your God."
Did you hear it? My Father and your Father. Jesus told Mary she could call God Father, just like Jesus does. We can now call God my Father. We can be part of God's family just as much as Jesus is. Wow! I know you've seen the film Paddington, and if you haven't, please do. You'll know how he's taken in by the Browns. He causes chaos. He floods the house, and the father, Mr. Brown, is absolutely sure he shouldn't be allowed to stay. But by the end of the film, I'm not going to give it all away, Mr. Brown lets Paddington stay in the family. In fact, he treats him like his own son in a bear kind of way. Paddington has a new father who loves him. Paddington sits in the Browns' kitchen and he says, "I'm home." When we're trusting in Jesus, Jesus says to you, "My Father and your Father." we have been brought into the Jesus family. By Jesus' death and resurrection, we are home, where we belong. It doesn't just change a little detail like we should go to church or let's pray before bed. It changes everything. It changes who we are, how we feel, because we've come home. We can call God our Father. To be a Christian is to have a forever dad, our Father, who changes our story. He will always be with us. He is always good. And one day we'll go home to be with him forever because of Jesus.
You see, Ed, didn't I say Jesus rising from the dead is the best news?
Oh, Jam, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for the best news. Thank you that Jesus has risen from the dead. He is no longer dead. He is alive. And thank you. We can call you Father. Amen.
Amen. Ed's got questions.
Under fives. How did Mary find out that Jesus was alive? Fives to sevens. What makes you sure that Jesus is alive? Over eights. Why do we get to call God Father? And then over 11s. When was the saddest that you have felt? Does God as your Father help when you're that sad?
If you want to have a chat about that right now, press pause. But we're going to carry on with a sketch, and we've imagined a time soon after what we've heard about in the reading when a visitor goes to see Jesus' empty tomb for herself. She's heard Mary's story and she wants to see for herself what really went on.
Is this where it happened?
Yep, this is the garden where Mary Magdalene met the risen Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm one of her friends and I just wanted to see where it all happened.
This is the place.
And to think, for a time she thought she was talking to the gardener. Can you imagine? No one would ever confuse the gardener and Jesus.
Well, she definitely wasn't talking to the gardener, because I am the gardener.
What did you say?
I am the gardener.
No. You mean?
I mean, I'm the gardener of this garden.
But you use that phrase, I am. Jesus used that phrase all the time. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth and the life. I am the resurrection and the life.
Oh, I'm sure he was. He sounds brilliant, but I'm the gardener.
He never said I really am, just I am, or truly, truly I say to you.
I'm sure he did, but I don't talk like him because I am not him. I really am not him. Really and truly.
Oh, it's okay. I get it. Your secret's safe with me.
No, there's no secret.
Oh, can I do what Mary Magdalene did, Annie?
Don't hold me.
Is that because you have not yet gone up to the Father?
No, it's because I don't know you. And this sort of thing will get me fired.
Okay, if you're not Jesus, prove it.
Prove I'm not the Son of God? They never taught me this in gardening college.
Go on.
Well, how can I do that? What, by not doing miracles? By not raising the dead? By not... Oh, wait, I've got an idea. Look there. You see that pond?
Yes.
Well, watch me not walk on the water. Here I go.
Oh, you really are just the gardener. My mistake.
Ugh. Thank you. At last.
Okay, bye.
Help me out with... And she's gone. Great. I wouldn't mind so much, but that's the third one today.
When they took down his body, hope had faded away. Light had shone out. Sealed with
When the Stone from Awesome Cutlery's brilliant new album, Word on the Street. Get hold of it. Click links in the show notes.
Thanks for your emails. We absolutely love receiving them. This one is all about Jam's fun facts about a dog who travelled thousands of miles. Clearly, there is a problem with doing podcasts with some gaps because I just cannot remember which dog travelled so far. Ella, Joshua, Zoe and Elizabeth with Helen and Ed getting a shout in North Yorkshire. Love a bit of North Yorkshire. But also, don't forget, Eva, age 7, she listens to us when they're on their long drive to ice skating each week. Imagine Jam ice skating every week.
Wow, amazing. That seems like something I do about once every 4 years. I can't imagine it doing it every week. Also, there's a bit of love for Action Tim, which maybe we'll bring back one day. So we've had a couple of emails about that. We've also had an email from Lydia and Luke and Beth. And Luke, his main question is, if Jam is 48, how old is Ed? I think 46. Luke thinks 43. Mummy says we can't ask because it's rude.
It's incredibly rude. I'm never going to tell you. Keziah is 7. She says, our episodes are really great. I bet you've had a lot of practice. Well, we have. But the great thing is you can listen to all of our practicing. Because all the podcasts are out there. If you listen to the very first one, you could even tell us whether you think we've got any better at it at all. You know where to get us. podcast@faithinkids.org. We're here for all your fun stuff. You must know by now that Easter Explained is not only this fabulous series of podcasts for the whole family, it's also a resource that you can get off our website. It's free to download. You'll never guess what it's called. You've worked it out. In there, you'll find 4 Sunday school lessons, 2 all-age talks, and an outreach resource for you to run the best event you could ever imagine over Easter weekend. It's all there, free to download, faithinkids.org.
Thanks very much for listening. Speak to you next time. Cheerio.
Bye-bye. Under fives, how did Mary find out that Jesus was alive? Fives to sevens, what makes you sure that Jesus is alive? Over eights, why do we get to call God Father? And then over 11s, when was the saddest that you have felt? Does God as your Father help when you're that sad?